The laws governing surrogacy in New Zealand are outdated and in need of a major overhaul, according to a review by the Law Commission. Top of the list, changing the legal status of intended parents who use a surrogate, meaning they will no longer have to adopt their own child after it's born. At the moment, the person carrying the baby is the legal parent, regardless of whose genetic material is used. The review also calls for clarification of what costs a surrogate can be reimbursed for, but does not recommend full commercial surrogacy. Now, joining us now to discuss the findings is the Law Commission's Kaitohutohu Taumata, or Principal Advisor, Nicola Lambie. Kia ora, Nicola.
Kia ora, Lisa.
So tell me, first of all, the intended parents, because this will be an issue that a lot of people are acutely interested in. Currently, yeah. They really have no legal rights to the child their surrogate is carrying. They adopt the child after it is born. But what should happen?
Yeah, that's right. So at the moment, the surrogate and her partner are the child's legal parents. And the law simply doesn't provide a process other than adoption for the intended parents to be recognised as that child's parents. So what we're recommending is a specific legal framework to accommodate surrogacy in New Zealand law. And we don't think that a family court process is necessary to establish legal parenthood with the regulatory safeguards we already have in place for surrogacy in New Zealand.
So in practical terms, how would it work? What would they need to become the legal parents?
Yeah, so at the moment, most surrogacy arrangements in New Zealand are approved in advance by the Ethics Committee on Assisted Reproductive Technology, that's called ECART. And then once they have that approval, they go through their fertility treatment, but then they also have to go through an adoption process where they have to be assessed as fit and proper people to adopt by an Ora Ngā Tamariki social worker. And then once the child is born, they go to the family court for their adoption order. What we recommend is once they have that ECART approval in advance, then it should be a simple administrative process that can take place shortly after birth, where the surrogate confirms her consent and the intended parents become the legal parents and can register the child's birth as normal.
Does that change anyone's rights during the pregnancy? For example, could the intended parents then say to the surrogate, I don't want you to drink, I don't want you to smoke? Whose interests take priority?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So what we're recommending is that the surrogate remains the legal parent at birth. And that's really just to safeguard her rights and interests throughout the pregnancy and birth. But we also recognise that intended parents need rights here too, because quite often it will be their genetic child that the surrogate is carrying. So what we're recommending is in that interim period, once the child is born and until the surrogate gives her consent, the intended parents should be deemed to be legal guardians of that child automatically under the law. And that just reflects the shared intention and plans of the parties.
I was interested in your report that it's not compulsory required to have any kind of written agreement before going down the path of surrogacy.
Yeah, that's right. So there isn't any requirement for a written agreement. However, those arrangements that do go through the ECART process, they do require the parties to obtain independent legal advice. They go through counselling individually and together, and those counselling reports that the counsellors then provide to ECART record the details of what the parties discussed. But we are recommending that actually we think that the parties should have a surrogacy plan that can be a really simple, straightforward document. But we need to bear in mind that pregnancy is a long time, and sometimes it can take a long time for a person to become pregnant. So it might be years that the surrogacy arrangement is in place, and having a simple document that the parties can refer back to should help to resolve any issues that arise.
You mentioned the Ethics Committee a few times, right? So that's where you go to get approval for gestational surrogacy. So where the person carrying the child has no genetic link to that child, right? But you are wanting to expand the arrangements that have to go through some form of regulation. Why do you want to do that? Because one of the main complaints is that this Ethics Committee takes so long to make decisions.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So there are a couple of points there. In relation to traditional surrogacy arrangements, so these are arrangements where the surrogate is a genetic parent of the child. These can happen privately. They don't have to go through a clinic. But increasingly, people are going to a clinic. And what the clinics are doing is sending it to ECART for ethical advice. because ECAT can't actually approve those arrangements. So what we think is that people who choose a traditional surrogacy arrangement should be able to go to ECAT if they want to. And if they don't want to, then we're recommending a specific court process that is tailored to surrogacy that they can go down instead.
Okay, just very quickly, money for surrogacy arrangements. You do not support a move to commercial surrogacy. Why is that?
Yeah, for a lot of reasons, but primarily it's a fundamentally different way to practice surrogacy, and it's not something that was widely supported in consultation. But what we do recognise is the current law is not working because surrogates are being left out of pocket because the law is unclear. So what we do recommend, in line with, you know, comparable jurisdictions, is that we should be making the law really clear that intended parents can pay for a surrogate's costs, including compensation for lost income if she has to take time out of work because of the pregnancy or birth.
Thank you for your time this evening. That is the Law Commission's Principal Advisor, Nicola Lambie.